is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, it's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. So great to be with you again. You know, I was recently thinking about the many times in my life when I felt the protection of God. So many people have written to me, and many people seem to be caught up with fear and trembling. But for the life of me, I can't figure out why, if they're truly Christians. You know, I think the real answer, my friends, is this question. The answer to it is, do you love God? Do you love Jesus, our Lord? If you do, you have nothing to fear. I was recently reading again Psalm chapter 91, verses 14 and 15. Listen to this. I mean, it is so absolutely phenomenal. It reads, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. My friends, this is God talking about you and me, if you love him. If you set your love upon God, he will deliver you, because you know his name, and his name is Jesus Christ. He will answer you when you call upon him, and when you're in trouble, he will deliver you and even honor you. That's an astonishing promise. I love Psalm 91:2, that in other places in the Bible where we know that God will give his angels charge of us to guard us in all our ways. Someone has sort of coined the phrase God's secret agents, the angels. And they never fail in their appointed tasks. Do you know, my friends, how many potentially fatal accidents have been avoided because God protected you? Have you ever driven down the highway and you see some horrible accident and cars all crash together and there's an ambulance there and you know they're taking away somebody who may be fatally hurt? And it just happened maybe 15 or 20 minutes or even moments before you came up on that way. Why wasn't it you in that accident? You say just blind luck? Oh, no. I think it has to do with God's secret agents, his angels. He has a mission for you to complete. A prophetic mission. That's right. You know, you're like 007. Agents for God. Yourself. You have a mission for God. Most people don't know that. If they could only realize that they have a destiny, that you were chosen by God before the foundation of the world for this destiny, it could change your whole life. A lot of people just think they're going about and things just happen to them. I read a sign one time on a lady's wall. It read, life is what happens while you're making other plans. Life is what happens while you're making other plans. My friends, a lot of people make plans that are not in line with God's plan. And then things happen that they never thought would happen. So you've got to find God's will for your life and get in line with it. Some years ago, Wanda and I were in Chicago, Illinois. We went in a radio station. In fact, it was the largest radio station in all of the Middle West, maybe one of the largest in the United States. They had an entire skyscraper in downtown Chicago. And I had a new book out, and I decided to go in and ask these people at the station if they would have me, if they had any talk shows, they would let me be on their talk show to talk about my book. Now, imagine it was a Christian book, and usually they laugh at you at these secular radio stations that are gigantic like that. But I thought it won't hurt. And besides that, I had amazingly good luck. You see, there are no parking places in Chicago. No. Don't even think about parking in a public parking place. But as we drove into the area of the radio station, I looked, and right in front of the radio station on one of the busiest streets in Chicago was a parking place just ready for me. And I pulled right into it, right in front of the station. Well, I knew right then God was in charge that day. And I was probably going to be on a radio program, for sure. My book had just come out. Nobody knew me in the world, really. It was my first best-selling Christian book, but it wasn't best-selling at the time. Juan and I got out of the car, and we walked into the station. There was a young, fairly attractive, it didn't matter one way or another what she was, a black girl sitting at the receptionist desk. There were other people we could see in the back offices, but she was sort of the monitor, the guard, and she was there to keep, you know, the wrong people out and report you to security if you didn't do what she said, I suppose. And there she was reading a book. Why was she reading a book? Well, as it turned out, it was her lunch hour. No, I'm sorry. It was more than that. It was not only her lunch hour, but it was, if I can recall right, now this was, again, some years ago, this 1986. But as I recall, she was staying there. That's right. She was staying there for lunch and fasting rather than going out to lunch. She decided to stay at her desk and read a Christian book to glorify God, rather than go out to lunch. That's right, she was on a fast. She was a baby Christian. Let me get my memory straight on all this, because this is so important. the key here, well, when I tell you the punchline, you're going to be thrilled. And as we walked in the door, I looked, and she had a book, and you know, you could see the cover. And I saw the cover was sort of a burgundy cover, and I looked, and guess what? It was my book! This young girl, of all the people, my book had just come out, only been out days. The publisher didn't have any confidence in the book. They were afraid probably nobody was going to buy it. I don't know how it already got into a bookstore there in Chicago, and this young woman had my book. There she was, reading my book on her lunch hour, but she was fasting. Well, I thought I had it made. I'm surely going to get, she must know somebody here, and they'll get me on a big talk show. That'll get me some publicity for this book, and we'll really get going in the promotion for this book. Now, I'd only been on one other radio show, a small Christian station there in southern Illinois. Probably had an audience of 20 listeners. But here was one that they said hundreds and hundreds of thousands listened to every day in Chicago. And so I thought, well, boy, the girl looked at me, and then she turned the back of the book, and there my picture was on it. She said, this is your picture. I'm reading your book. I said, yes, you are. I had a big smile on my face. I guess pride had sort of overcome me. Well, I was sure at that very moment my book was going to be a big bestseller, and, you know, everything was just going to be okie-dokie. And rather than referring to me, this girl turned her face toward my wife, Wanda. And she said to Wanda, she said, I know why you're here. God sent you to me. And Wanda said, yes. Why do you say that? She said, because I've got a terrible problem, and that's why I'm fasting today. I asked God, I said, God, I'll fast today and not eat. And would you please, during this lunch hour while I'm acting as a receptionist, because she said, I volunteered. I guess she volunteered for another girl. And she said, I volunteered just to stay here at my desk and be the receptionist during this lunch hour. And I asked God to send somebody that can help me with a question I have. And you're that person. Well, I was sort of left out of the whole thing. You know, I was the soon-to-be famous author of this book. But she didn't want my help. She wanted Wanda's. Now, that's very biblical, too. The Bible says that young women are to seek out older women in Christ for advice and instruction. She was seeking out. She was a baby Christian. She probably didn't know about that verse. She wasn't seeking Tex Mars out. Talk about deflating your ego. She was seeking out my wife. First time she had ever seen her. Now, imagine, she's black. My wife is white. But see, that doesn't matter with Christians. God doesn't look at your race. He looks at your heart. She had Jesus within her. Wanda had Jesus within her. And I think they recognized each other. Women of God. And Wanda walked up closer to death. She says, well, what is your question? How can I help you? She then began to tell Wanda her problem. You see, she said, I've been dating this boy and we've been getting quite serious and we're talking about marriage and he says he'll marry me, but only if I change my religion. He wants me to become a Jehovah's Witness. Well, of course, Wanda knew right away Jehovah's Witnesses don't even believe that Jesus is Lord. They believe that that Jesus is just another name for Michael the Archangel. They don't even believe that Jesus is Holy Lord, the Lord and God. So this is a false cult from the devil. But she said, if I'll change my religion, Jehovah's Witness, he'll marry me. But if I won't, he won't marry me. What should I do? Wanda says, well, the scriptures say that we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. The girl just, she said, that's in the Bible? And Wanda showed her where that was in the Bible. Said, yes, that is in the Bible. You're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And your boyfriend is an unbeliever because he doesn't believe in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She said, that's the answer that I needed. You see, she didn't even know fully the Bible, didn't even realize. And here was this woman all the way from Texas, Austin, Texas, that was there in Chicago to be on some little bitty Christian station. And I think I had one other engagement. I was going to go talk to the publisher. They had me at their little chapel meeting at the publishing house. They had once a week would have a chapel meeting of their employees. And that was why I was there in Chicago. But I just decided to take a chance and try my luck at that radio station there, that huge secular radio station. Well, the girl was absolutely thrilled out of her mind that God had sent her a messenger. And the wife of the author of the book she was reading. And I said, how did you manage to get my book? She says, well, I just yesterday was at one of the bookstores here and they had this book. They said it was new and it looked real interesting. So I bought it and decided to start reading. I just started reading it. I don't even know what this book's about, she said. Now, friends, that's the way God works. She had a destiny. She had a mission for God. I don't know what's going to happen to her. God's got a plan for that young woman. You say, is he going to make her some famous name? That's not the point. She could have a famous name in heaven and be unknown totally on earth. Think about that. You can be famous in heaven and nobody know you here on earth. I think there's a lot of people like that. But she had a destiny and Wanda had a destiny and their destinies met that one day, that 1 hour. The girl shouldn't even have been there. She was supposed to go out to lunch. But she was fasting. Because she had prayed and asked God, send me someone to help me. And God did. See how God arranged the parking spot. That wasn't luck. God arranged us to be there during that particular time. We were just driving around Chicago looking at the huge buildings and going gaga and driving there by their little lake and all and looking. And then suddenly I saw this parking place. I was thinking maybe we won't even go to that station. It's so hard to get a parking place here. Suddenly there was the place. Everything worked just perfect. A, B, C, D. For God's destiny. For lives to be fulfilled. I didn't have any part in it at all. Wanda did. This young lady did at the radio station. Now, I did go on to ask her, did she know anybody that could get me on a radio program? She says, well, I'll do my best. Well, as it turned out, I did get to be on a radio program there. And it was a talk about a hullabaloo. It was a guy who became very famous throughout the United States. At that time, he had the number one talk show probably in the United States. His name was Martin Downey Jr. They called him the Mouth, and they said he ate up Christians. And he called me and said, I see you've got a new book here. I'd like you to be on my radio program. Can you be in the studio tomorrow? So we had to go back to that building again. And we went up to, I don't know, the 17th floor or something there, went in, there was Martin Downey Jr., and he was smoking a cigar. And by the way, I called my publisher, and I said, do you know Martin Downey Jr.? I'd never heard of the man. They said, oh, no, you're not going to be on his program. He's going to spit, you know, eat you up and spit you out. He's not a Christian, and boy, he's bad. I said, sounds like just the kind of program I want to be on. They said, oh, no, no, you don't understand. He won't help you sell your book. He will blast your book. He will bash it. He'll try to make you look like an idiot and a fool as a Christian. I said, sounds just like my man. I'm going to go on his program. I think the publisher, they didn't want me to. They were shocked. They wanted me to go on all these little Christian programs. They wanted me to talk to other Christians, but I wanted to talk to the whole world. I wanted to talk to the unsaved. I wanted to talk to the people that were entrapped in the New Age movement. And you know, I said, they wouldn't even introduce me to the guy. They took me in, they sent me down. It was sort of like the Larry King show on TV. I was sitting right across from Martin Downey Jr., and he was about 2 feet from me, and he was smoking a cigar, and I cannot stand cigarette smoker, any kind of smoke, but he was smoking anyway. And they had a clock on the wall, and they had a red light that came on, then a green light or something. I can't even remember what. Suddenly they said, you're on, you know, you're on the air. He had a copy of my book, and he was thumbing through it. I could tell that he hadn't read it, but he was thumbing through it, and he looked at the cover, and he said, well, he said, I've got a guest today from Texas, Tex Mars. He's written this book called Dark Secrets of the New Age. And Martin Downey Jr. said, right there. Now, imagine hundreds of thousands listening. It was only the second radio program, if I could remember, that I'd ever been on. And here I am way up in the middle of this skyscraper. And here's this Martin Downey Jr. And he says, from looking over your book, Mr. Mars, appears to me you must be some kind of a radical fundamentalist Christian fanatic. That's his first words out of his mouth. And I think he might have said a couple other things like crazy or insane or something. I don't know what he said of me. Well, how are you going to answer something like that? So I did. I answered him. I laughed. And I said, you mean just thumbing through my book like that? You can tell that about me? Well, you're absolutely right, Martin. I am. I'm a crazy, radical, fundamentalist Christian fanatic. And I laughed. I didn't take umbrage at what he said. I admitted it. That's exactly what I was. I'm a fanatic for Jesus. The world thinks I'm crazy. I'm a fundamentalist because I believe in the fundamentals of the gospel. I didn't deny any of those things. I admitted to all of them. I was guilty of everything he called me. And then I looked at him very closely and he began to laugh. He said, so, you know, you admit it. I said, yes, I do. And I'm happy to be with you here today. I understand you have a very powerful and important radio program. It's great to be on your show. He said, well, I don't know if you're going to enjoy it that much. I said, I know I'm going to. And he laughed some more. And you know what? We ended up being big friends. He invited me back two or three more times. We did it on telephone. And then he got a TV show and he was on national TV. He invited me to come up and be on that. We became big buddies. You see, God had a destiny. They said, don't be on his show. He'll make you look like a fool. But what it turned out was he said, Tex, I think you're absolutely right. I agree with your book. And I was even able to witness to Martin Downey Jr. about Jesus Christ. And I do believe that he did accept the Lord at a later time in his life. And maybe we planted the seed. Well, you know, we're not going to have music today. But we're going to have a continuing message today. I don't know how much time we have, but whatever time we have, we're going to go into it. A few minutes, perhaps, of the message we have. You know, we're continuing our series on the prophetic letters of Paul. A lot of people don't think of the letters of the Apostle Paul in our Bible as having prophetic impact. But boy, it's there. It's wonderful. I love it. And I think you will, too, as we discuss the prophetic impact of Paul's letters to the various churches. Here now we begin that message, and then I'll be back again with you to close at the end. This has been pre-taped, so this is yet another part of that continuing series on the letters of Paul.
I was reading along the other day, almost fell off my chair, reading an article in the New York Times, of all places, about the World Trade Center calamity. They quoted some Baptist pastor. I don't remember where it was from. I think it was Pennsylvania. He said he was quite confident that everyone who died in the World Trade Center went straight to be with God. Almost like they were just raptured right up, went straight up to be with the Lord. You know, don't pass go, don't collect $200, go straight to God. I was reading that and I thought, well, they must have some kind of special dispensation. An incredible thing. Doesn't matter whether they're Christians or not. And I understand there were Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims in there and all kinds of heathen and Jews that have rejected Christ. According to this pastor, he was just convinced it was such a horrible event that they paid their dues and therefore they're just immediately their spirits went up to be with God. You know, that might have been very comforting temporarily to the survivors. But I don't know where the man got that in Scripture. That's not true at all. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, it is appointed for us to live one time, my friends, afterward the judgment. Men have one life, afterward the judgment. He was saying these people weren't even judged. They went straight to be with God. Oh, boy. My friends, there's one way to be with God, and that's to know His Son, Jesus Christ, and trust in Him. And be born again, John 3, verse 3. Then I guarantee you, you'll be with God. You will be with God for eternity. But if you want to worship some false god of the Hindus or the Buddhists, or if you want to bow down five times a day toward the east and pray to Muhammad and Allah, I guarantee you, you're going to be where Muhammad is. And if it's not heaven, it's going to be a very bad place. And you're going to be tormented there forever and ever, the Bible says. Now, I want you to understand very carefully, my friends, I'm just getting back to trusting the Word of God rather than what men say. And men can say anything they want. And they can say, well, a wonderful, just, and merciful Lord surely wouldn't send those people after they suffered so much at the World Trade Center. He would not send them to hell. My friends, there have been millions and millions and millions of people who have died throughout the centuries. And many of them have gone to hell. And many of them have died hideous deaths. We have no guarantee. There's only, you know, the old saying, the only thing that's guaranteed is death and taxes. That's not true, my friends. Oh, there's more than death and taxes. There's death and taxes and judgment. And then from the judgment, it's guaranteed you're going to go to heaven or to hell. Oh, there's several guarantees I can give you in life beyond just death and taxes. Well, let's read this because we've got so much here to cover, and I want to get into it in detail. Because you're going to find out whether there's going to be a great tribulation or tribulation before the Antichrist comes. You're going to find it out from the very mouth of God who spoke through the Apostle Paul. Now, here he wrote a letter to the Thessalonians, Thessalonica. They were Greeks. They come to know Jesus. And he was writing letters to them to help them to grow in their understanding of the faith. And so here he wrote to them. He started off in verses 1 and 2 in chapter 1. He says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren. And so he goes on from there. And then number 2, he wants them to know something very important. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Now, this is in King James language, but it's very clear here, and if you want to go back and make a careful word study, it says, now we beseech you, brethren, meaning we plead with you, brothers. We ask you to understand and accept what we're going to tell you. We plead with you. You know, it's interesting for Paul to even start out this way. He could have just said, listen up. He could have, you know, just been blunt and said, I'm going to tell you something. But evidently there have been some problems in this regard. And maybe some of these brothers and sisters here at the church of the Thessalonians, maybe they had been spreading false teachings and doctrines and concepts. And, you know, Paul was one to want to reason with people. But he was not beyond begging them and pleading with them. And sometimes I think that's good. Sometimes I do that on Power of Prophecy or at Bible Home Church. I plead with people. And sometimes I just flat out tell them the way it is. That's true. I'm pretty blunt. You know, I don't really mince words, do I? But I think it's okay if you got some people that you love and you really want them. You say, please listen to me. That's what Paul did. Well, friends, it's been great to bring you this message today about the prophetic
impact of the letters of Paul. I'm your pastor, Tex Morris, here at Bible Home Church. And, of course, next week we're going to continue with this series of messages on the prophetic letters of Paul, the Apostle Paul. Enjoyed being with you today. And until we're together again next week, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.